To succeed, just let go. This is Willie Horton, exploring how we must and can take control of our state of mind and transform our lives. You're very welcome.
You'll have heard me say on more than one occasion that we are at our best when we are not thinking. In today's podcast, I want to explain exactly what I mean by that. And as we go through this episode, we'll begin to realize that normal everyday language, whether it be English, which I'm speaking now, or French, which I speak regularly, or I suspect any normal everyday language, is inadequate in teasing out exactly what we need to understand with regard to how best to not so much use our minds, but actually make our way through our ordinary everyday life in a way that creates an extraordinary experience of life every day. The extra being that we have turned up to the here and now. And in order to turn up to the here and now, we do have to use our minds in a different way, an extraordinary way, an abnormal way. I got an email from an online program owner a couple of days ago asking me, was I asking her to go through her life without using her thinking mind at all? And would that not be akin to wandering around like a headless chicken? Now, obviously, it is not my intention, never has been, to suggest to people that they need to chop the top part of their bodies off and walk around like the proverbial headless chicken, relying on their heart or their gut instinct, so to speak. What I mean when I say we are at our best when we are not thinking is that we are at our best when we're not thinking automatically. Now, sadly, automatic thinking is our base way of going through the day, every day. Automatic thinking is what enables us make it through the day. And automatic thinking colours all our thinking. Let's deal with automatic thinking first, and then I'll get into explaining what we've just explored in that last sentence. Our automatic pilot uses a process known as snapshot learning during our formative years to learn a series of programs which constitute our user's manual that enables us make it through the day as adults. That user's manual contains roughly 70,000 thoughts that whiz through our waking day every day. And obviously, simply because of the volume of thought, never mind anything else, we will not be aware of the vast majority of those thoughts. They are running below the surface. They are running unconsciously. But they are running everything that we experience during the course of our day. And they are running how we actually use the other thoughts that we might employ during the course of the day to enable us, for example, do our job. Those automated thoughts give us our understanding of how the world works and our place in it. Those automatic thoughts give us our impression of ourselves. And those automatic thoughts are skewed towards the negative, because being more negative and expecting the worst keeps us on our toes. It's an evolutionary thing. And speaking of evolutionary things, perhaps the best way of my explaining what I mean by the fact that we are at our best when we are not thinking is to tell you a little evolutionary tale. Now, you'll have heard this story before, but it needs to be repeated in the context that we are exploring today. I'm out hunting for tonight's dinner. I'm 14, 15, or 23 or 24 years of age. My mind is operating on automatic pilot. I have completed all my formative learning that enables me to be a hunter-gatherer. I finished that at around the age of 11 or 12, at which point my ability to clearly think new thoughts and learn new things terminated. So I'm beyond the age of puberty. I'm out hunting for tonight's dinner, and I wander into a clearing in the bush, and the bushes start to rustle. And from the bush emerges a man-eating beast. Now, if I stop to think about my predicament, I'm dead. But luckily, our automatic mind operates in a life-threatening situation in a way that saves our lives or gives us the best chance of saving our lives. For example, if I walked into a clearing in the bush that I'd never been in before, my automatic mind, using the brain's hippocampus in the subcortical brain, would already have a 3D image of where I am, a 3D map that would include the most efficient and effective escape routes. It already has that. It's all done automatically, obviously. I don't have to think about that. This is what I meant by automatic thoughts running below the surface. So I am confronted by a man-eating beast, and without thinking about it, I will make my escape with least effort. And in those few seconds, my automatic mind will ensure that my blood pressure is raised and my heart rate is raised so that highly oxygenated blood makes it to the muscle groups that will enable me flee effectively with least effort. At exactly the same time, that same fight or flight response will have turned off my immune and digestive systems because I don't need them at that moment in time. I'm facing a matter of life and death. This all happens automatically without my thinking about it. As I said, if I stopped to think about it, because my automatic way of thinking is my base way of operating, I would start by thinking, oh, little old me is dead. There's no way that little old me is going to wrestle this beast into submission. There is no way that I'm fast enough to run away, and I'm dead. Little old me thoughts are the automatic thoughts to which I have often referred and to which I referred a couple of minutes ago when I talked about snapshot learning during our formative years and when we talked about how we are predisposed to think negative rather than positive thoughts. Even our automatic mind already knows how to save our lives. Even our automatic mind knows how to operate in situations which are a matter of life and death. Unfortunately, our automatic mind doesn't realize that every moment, every day is a matter of life and death, because if I don't stop using my automatic mind automatically, I miss the here and now, and I'm effectively dead to the world. So it's automatic thinking to which I refer when I say that we are at our best when we are not thinking. But then again, just a couple of moments ago, I said to you that our automatic way of thinking colours all of our thinking. Let me take a practical example. I am originally an accountant, and once an accountant, always an accountant. We won't get into that. There's no point in me giving myself some self-therapy live in a podcast. Seriously, I was originally trained as an accountant and as a tax consultant. And in last week's episode, I referred to the Buddhist saying that once you tell a child, look, that is a bird, the child will never see a bird again because it assumes automatically it knows what it's looking at. Once you become accustomed to profit and loss accounts and balance sheets, you stop seeing the profit and loss accounts and balance sheets because you think you know what you're looking at, because it has become automated, not as a result of habit, but as a result of our analytical way of thinking in the context of, for example, auditing a set of accounts, being coloured by our automatic way of thinking. In other words, everything we learn from the age of 12 or 13 on is filtered through what we think we already know. So even our analytical way of thinking, say as an engineer or an accountant or indeed as a psychologist, even that way of thinking is coloured by our automatic way of thinking, of which, as I said a few minutes ago, we are generally unaware. It's running below the surface. Now, before we go any further, let us take a brief trip into what is running below the surface. Because the key things that are running just below the surface in your unconscious mind are misgivings about yourself, misunderstandings about how the way the world works. In other words, that you have to work hard to be a success, for example. Misunderstandings about what we need to do to enable us get to where we want to go. Because most people will think they need to be busy and end up doing everyday busy stuff and the urgent and not have time to do the important. All this stuff is running below the surface. And whilst it enables us survive, in other words, make it from one day to the next, what it disables us from doing is living the life that we would love to live. So in other words, we're a few weeks short of a new year, and people's attention will be beginning to turn to things they would like to do in the new year. New things, because it's a new year resolutions, if you like. None of those things will actually come to pass if we continue allowing our automatic way of thinking, not just colour, for example, as I said a minute ago, our professional or analytical thinking, but our automatic thinking colours our understanding of what is going on, our understanding of ourselves, and our ability to act. In fact, our automatic way of thinking makes us unable to act. Our automatic way of thinking only enables us react to what we think is going on. So back to the start of this episode, when I say that we are at our best when we're not thinking, what I am actually saying is that we are at our best when we have unplugged our automatic pilot, when the thoughts that constrain us, the thoughts that colour our understanding of ourselves and what's going on in the here and now, when all those thoughts are disengaged. That enables us to understand what is going on, which is not the same as thinking afresh. Now, you see, here is where the problem lies with regard to ordinary everyday language. I could be thinking my way through a problem, and indeed thinking that I am thinking my way through a problem, when actually what I'm doing is thinking my way through the thinking that I normally do automatically to try and figure out a problem that I'll never figure out, because my way of thinking through the problem is coloured by my automatic way of thinking, which will tell me I'm less than I actually could be. And in all probability, the problem I'm trying to think my way through is not thinkable through. Now, let me unwrap that one. Because essentially what I'm saying is all thinking, when coloured by our automatic thinking, leads to overthinking and inevitably leads to negative thinking. Inevitably. There are many stories that we have explored here before in earlier episodes of this podcast. There are many stories that I explore with my online program owners on a Wednesday evening Zoom, which I'll come back to in a moment, which confirm that once I allow my automatic way of thinking colour my way of understanding what is going on in the here and now, or to tie ourselves in linguistic knots, to colour my current way of thinking about what I think is going on, once I allow that happen, and by the way, it happens automatically to us unless we do something about it. Once I'm in that mode of operating automatically, my thinking mind will always lead me to overthinking and inevitably lead me to negative thinking. That is what I mean when I say we are at our best when we're not thinking. To reiterate what I've just said, we are at our best when we are not thinking automatically. So what are we doing then? Well, we're actually feeling and evaluating, reflecting and understanding. The words I've just used, they're not thinking in the context in which we normally use the word thinking, either in the online program or on this podcast. There is a world of difference between thinking that you know what's going on and having a feel for what is actually going on. There's a world of difference between believing and knowing. Now let's explore that one. Because people have dearly held beliefs. And perhaps some of our most fundamental beliefs are beliefs about ourselves. Yes, we have shared beliefs, for example, in the Western world, generally speaking, in the Christian Judeo-Western world, we share beliefs about the world, its creation, and the afterlife. I'm generalizing, obviously, but I just picked on that one as a primary example of how so many people have shared beliefs. We have shared beliefs in many Western countries in relation to how markets work, how the economy works, or the economy doesn't work half the time. We have shared beliefs in relation to war and peace. Slightly different beliefs the further east you go. That's neither here nor there. In other words, people have generally held shared beliefs, and people have more specific and personalized beliefs about their situation in life and what they're capable of, what they can't achieve, and how the world works from the perspective of their everyday life. Beliefs are thought to be immutable. When people say, oh, I believe in God, just as an example, and they say, I believe in God, they're talking about something that is fundamentally unshakable. People who say something like that will often refer to faith. But if you explore how the mind works from a cognitive perspective, you will begin to realize that beliefs are just firmly held thoughts. So how could a firmly held thought about God, for example, be taken on board through the process of snapshot learning, to which I referred earlier on, by a 2 or 3 year old? Well, the fact of the matter is that the 2 or 3 year old will have been taking psychological snapshots of the behavior and thoughts and conversations of those around them from 3 months before they were actually even born. These snapshots seep into and settle in their unconscious and form a background understanding of what goes on in what developmental psychology calls their developmental niche. In other words, the environment in which they are taking in stuff like a sponge. Now, when we take in stuff like a sponge that refers to us directly, it's generally related to things that are done to us and how we feel about ourselves when things are done to us during our formative years. But the key point I want to make here is that your beliefs, every single belief you have, is not an unshakable fact. It is a deeply held and embedded thought that in all probability sits in a whole collection of supportive, deeply embedded thoughts. But they're all only thoughts. And they are some of the thoughts that we will employ, or should I say our automatic pilot will employ, every day to enable us to make it through the day. They're not beliefs. They're not something unshakable. They're not something that you can't change. They are simply thoughts. And because they are part and parcel of the 70,000 thoughts that the automatic pilot uses to enable us to make it through every day, they are colouring everything that you experience when you're using your mind normally, when you're using your mind automatically. And therefore, people actually believe things about themselves. People believe that their inadequacies, their strengths, their weaknesses are unshakable facts. They're not. They're deeply held thoughts. They're automatically run thoughts. And they are automatically run thoughts that colour your thinking, your experience of life, and your reactions on a daily basis. I didn't say actions, I said reactions. We're unable to take real and proper life-changing action when our automatic pilot is involved in our everyday lives. That leads me back again to the immutable statement that we are at our best when we are not thinking automatically. As I said, there is a difference between believing and knowing. Beliefs we've just dealt with. And whether you believe we've just dealt with them or not is neither here nor there, because the truth is anything you care to believe. Beliefs we've dealt with. They are simply deeply held thoughts and, as such, are a figment of your imagination. You may have a very vivid one as a result of the way in which you were programmed during your formative years, but beliefs are still just a figment of your imagination. Knowing is something else. Knowing is something that you feel deep down. Knowing is something that we intuitively feel. And knowing is something that actually even the normal crazy person experiences from time to time in their lives. For example, when they are about to do something and there's some little voice inside that says, no, don't do that. That's the wrong move to make. And of course, they go and do it anyway and subsequently discover, what? It was the wrong move to make. Everybody has experienced at some time in their lives the little voice inside saying, do this or don't do this. But because we're using our thinking mind automatically, our thinking mind will talk us into doing the alternative because it thinks that is the right way to act. And even if we are using our professional or analytical thinking skills in a situation like that, as we said earlier on, even those skills, even that way of thinking is coloured by our automatic thinking until we actually unplug the automatic pilot. When we do unplug the automatic pilot, that is when we begin to know. That is when we begin to know through actually feeling it in our bodies. Our bodies are talking to us all of the time. So, for example, if you feel nervous, you might have an upset stomach, or you might have a lump in your throat if you have something difficult to say, or you might have a tense, nervous headache because you're tense and nervous, or actually because you think you're tense and nervous. But our bodies are talking to us all of the time. And people have often said to me, so what? My body's just my body. No, it's not. Your body is the vessel of your own flowing universal energy. And when we are operating on automatic pilot, our energy is blocked. Now, it's not blocked by our automatic pilot. It is blocked by the way our automatic pilot leads all thinking to overthinking into negative thinking. It is also blocked by the way in which our automatic pilot sees everyday threats that aren't really threats at all, it only thinks they are, that lead to the fight or flight response that I mentioned earlier on, that leads to problems with your digestive system and your immune system, because when those systems are switched off as a result of the fight or flight response, they become dysfunctional. Same, obviously, with your cardiovascular system. So, for example, as we've explored before, stress, which is only based on thought. In fact, actually, it's based on overthinking and negative thinking in ordinary everyday life. Obviously, the stress response saved your life 10 or 12,000 years ago when you were confronted by the person-eating beast. But stress in ordinary everyday life is as a result of your automatic mind overthinking what is actually going on and thinking that little old you isn't up to dealing with what you think is going on, as a result of which stress increases your heart rate every day, increases your blood pressure every day, increases your production of fatty LDL cholesterol every day, diminishes the functionality of your immune system and your digestive system every day, and you end up not a nervous wreck. Well, you may well end up a nervous wreck. You may well end up somebody suffering from anxiety or perhaps even anger. And by the way, a lot of research shows that it's anger that is the real killer. Leave that aside for the moment. But you won't just end up a nervous wreck. You'll get stomach ulcers. You'll develop coronary and cardiovascular problems. You'll end up getting cancer or giving yourself cancer. Now, we could talk about that at length. And I've indeed, over the years, on many occasions, talked about that at length with clients one-to-one and even on our online program owner Zooms on a Wednesday night, which I'll come back to again because I said I'd come back to it again earlier. Your body isn't just your body. So when you have flutterings in your stomach, it isn't because you ate something bad last night. It is because the flow of your energy in that part of your body is disrupted by your automatic way of overthinking and negative thinking. We are individually the physical manifestation of our little bit of universal energy. Quantum physics tells us universal energy flows at a particular rate. The science of bioelectricity shows us that when we are in what the University of Chicago would call flow, our manifestation of energy flows at a similar rate, and we are coherent and tuned into the universe. We are present, and we have disengaged the automatic pilot. In exactly the same way, decades of research shows that when we are operating on automatic pilot, and when we are triggering the stress response left, right, and center, to the point where we don't notice it because it's an ordinary everyday occurrence, then the flow of our energy is disrupted and blocked, and a mind that is ill at ease leads to a body that is diseased. But more importantly, well, if it is more importantly, we are totally dead to the world, dead from the neck up. We actually are the headless chickens that I referred to earlier on. We're dead to the world. We don't know what's going on. And we're automatically scrambling through the day, killing ourselves slowly. And actually in the process, not living either. It's an awful situation in which 96% of people in this world actually find themselves, and they're not even aware that that is the situation in which they could find themselves if they woke up and disengaged the automatic pilot. Now, we've spoken at length over the 230 or so episodes in this podcast about how we disengage the automatic pilot and how science tells us there's only one way to disengage the automatic pilot, and that is to turn on your ability to pay attention again, your so-called attentional spotlight, turn on your center of conscious awareness, same thing, turn on your central executive, which enables you know what's going on and take appropriate action, which is a world away from reaction. And the only way we can do that is through meditation. So many people are turned off by the word meditation because it's a word and their thinking mind starts thinking about it in their ordinary automatic thinking way. And they think they know what meditation is. They think it's some kind of ritual. They think it's some kind of tradition linked to this, that or other religion or spiritual movement. Meditation is a training exercise that enables us to experience the reality of the here and now as a result of disengaging our automatic way of thinking. But our automatic way of thinking is devious. It has been described to me by a number of online program owners recently as a devious so-and-so. We won't use the actual words for fear of censorship. And that is why our Wednesday evening program owner Zooms are so important. If you're an online program owner, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you're not, you're missing out on 160 hours of Zoom conversations going back to the launch of the online program, this time 7 years ago. It is in those conversations that we actually tease out what I mean, for example, by we're at our best when we're not thinking. It is in those conversations that we understand the difference between believing and knowing. It is in those conversations that we understand the difference between automatic thinking and analytical thinking. And it is in those conversations that we understand that automatic thinking covers not just analytical thinking, but every moment-to-moment so-called experience that the headless chickens that are not using their minds properly are encountering from one moment to the next. And from one moment to the next, as I said earlier on in this episode, is a matter of life and death. If you're not present in this moment, you're missing your life. Because your life, all life, the flow of universal energy, is only real in this moment, moment to moment. It doesn't matter what beliefs you have about yourself or what experiences you have had in the past or even what learnings you have had in the recent past, because those recent learnings will have been coloured by your automatic way of thinking. The past doesn't matter. People often think that in order to spring forward in their lives, they need to understand why they are where they are or how they are who they think they are. You don't need to do any of that because the past is a foreign land to which there is no ticket and there's certainly no return ticket. It is the past gone, done, dusted. There's nothing you can do about it. And, you know, if you want to go into psychotherapy and explore your past, then psychotherapy will enable you not revisit the past, it'll enable you relive the past. And that'll take you further down the vortex of something that isn't there in the here and now. Similarly, the future hasn't happened yet. Indeed, the future will be a function of whether or not you turn up to the here and now. If you don't turn up to this here and now, there is a very strong possibility that you won't turn up to the next one, and the next one after that. It's like a rolling snowball. If you turn up to this here and now, if you fully experience this here and now, free of your automatic way of thinking, there's a very strong chance that you will turn up in exactly the same way to the next here and now, and begin through your presence in each here and now, creating the kind of life that you would really love to live. The chance is much stronger, by the way, than the rolling snowball that I mentioned a minute ago, because when I turn up to this here and now, my brain restructures itself in the here and now, and I build on that restructuring in the next here and now, when once again I further restructure my brain. What am I talking about? I'm talking about how neuroscience has determined over the last 20 years that through regular meditation, in other words, through practicing being in the here and now and experiencing being in the here and now, the key components of my subcortical brain restructure themselves in a way that enables them to behave in any situation and every situation in our everyday lives in the way in which they behaved when they automatically got us out of a life-threatening situation in evolutionary times. In other words, through meditation, we change the focus of those key components of our subcortical brain from just being focused on life-threatening situations to being focused both on threats, obviously we have to keep one eye on that, and on opportunity. And it is that change in the structure of our subcortical brain that enables us know what's going on in the here and now, which is completely different from believing what we think is going on here and now or believing about ourselves. It is that structural change in our subcortical brain that enables us not just know what's going on in the here and now, but know what is best to do to move us forward from this here and now to the next here and now. It's exactly the same thing as the story with which I started this week's episode. 10,000 years ago, the brain's hippocampus knew how to get me out of a life-threatening situation without my thinking about it. If you meditate daily, your brain's hippocampus in the subcortical brain will behave exactly the same way, automatically, in any situation. Now, it's a totally different automatic to the automatic pilot that leads to automatic thinking, overthinking, and negative thinking. This is an automaticity that enables us to flow in the moment. We don't have to think about it. We don't have to put any effort into it. It just happens. And that is why so many people with whom I've worked over the years have told me that the things that they are looking for in their lives have just happened. It feels like they just happened because, in fact, they did just happen because there was no effort involved. All effort in life only comes from thinking. They were doing, in the moment, just the right thing in the right way at the right time. So you, like I, have a choice. And the choice isn't something that you might think about doing by way of a New Year's resolution. The choice is a here and now choice. And the choice is, am I here or am I thinking automatically? Even asking yourself whether you're here or thinking automatically will bring you back to here and now. And that is something we need to do day in, day out. Ask ourselves, am I here or am I all over the place? I need to ask myself that question every day until I don't need to ask myself that question every day, because as a result of my everyday meditation, I've changed the structures in my subcortical brain. I've disengaged my automatic pilot and I am present. I am here. Presence is everything. For starters, it means that you are turning up to your own life. And that is something we all need to do before it's too late.
You've been listening to Succeed, Just Let Go. Hope you've got a little something to help you transform your life today.